just ask you to help us to remember through it all what a privilege it is to be an ambassador for you. And Father, we don't want to get caught up in ethnocentrism, but we thank you for our country, and we thank you for the opportunities that you have given us through America to do so many things that you have called us to do, and so many things that you have allowed us to do. And we repent, Father, for not having always turned to you.
Today is the 73rd anniversary of the National Day of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer is an annual observance that's held on the first Thursday of May, inviting people of all faiths to pray for our nation. It was created back in 1952 by a joint resolution of United States Congress and signed into law by President Harry S. Truman. Now, I've invited my friend Frank Anderson. Frank is the Stephen Olford Chair of Expository Preaching and Associate Professor of Ministry and Missions through Union University. He's also the Director for the Center for Racial Reconciliation, a member of the Evangelical Theological Society and the Evangelical Homiletic Society, currently serves on the Board of Directors of the Olford Ministries International. Frank is a native Memphian, so he knows what good barbecue is. Vernetta, his wife, formerly McCullough of Jackson, Tennessee. They've been married since 1982. Both are members of First Baptist Church in Jackson, where they live, and Frank co-leads a life group, and Vernetta both sing in the choir and plays the flute. Frank, do you play the flute, or is that Vernetta?
That's Vernetta. Okay. That's Vernetta. Yeah, I can't even whistle. So I've got a musical background in listening to music and trying to avoid singing.
I love that. How are you doing? You've had a kidney transplant, and that's been how many years ago now?
Well, actually, last Thursday marked 5 years.
How's that going?
Well, all things being considered, it's gone well. We've had some challenges in the last couple of years. And, you know, one of the things that you do or you have to do when you have a major organ transplant, you have to stay on immunosuppressant drugs. God has made our bodies where our bodies can tell when we have a foreign object or an object that typically wouldn't be there. And so our bodies know that when you have a kidney transplant, that's not the one with which you were born. And so you have to lower the immune system. But that invites other things in. And we've had some challenges with that, going through a couple of things now. But regardless of how things work out, we know that God is in control and He always is working for our best interest. I'm just glad to be alive and glad to be functioning.
Amen, Frank. I also deal with an autoimmune disease that has its challenges with medications and interaction with other medications at times, so I can identify to some degree what you're saying. I saw this post the other day of a lady in her 80s, and she was talking about the aches and pains that as you get older that life sometimes brings our way, different issues of health. And she said, you know, I'm just learning not to complain about the parts of my body that don't work, but to enjoy the parts that do work.
Right, right.
So I guess it's a matter of perspective. And we need to, again, keep our focus on the Lord, as you said, knowing that He has a will and a way to lift us up and encourage us through these times. Well, Frank, as we kind of focus today on the National Day of Prayer, each year there's a theme that's set by the National Day of Prayer team. This year it's called Lift Up the Word, Light Up the World. Scripture verse 2 Samuel 22, 29 through 31 that says, "You are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him." That's a comforting verse, right, Frank?
It is. It is a comforting verse. And I think it also gives us perspective in terms of how we need to deal with some of the challenges that we face, whether it's on an individual level or even as we're doing today, praying for our nation. And one of the things that I hear in that particular passage is God's admonition to make sure that no matter what's going on around us, no matter how difficult or dark things may seem to be, He has given us a great commandment. And I think it's appropriate that we talk about it as the great commandment. And I think something that kind of falls out of, if I may put it that way, falls out of that great commandment is the Great Commission. And I think it's important that no matter what happens, that we don't veer away from being what we should be as a matter of the Great Commandment and doing what we are called to do as a matter of the Great Commission, being confident that as long as we are focused on Him and what He's told us to do, the best is going to come about as a result of that, whether we see it temporally or not. And so I think that passage not only gives us confidence, but it reminds us of what we've been assigned to do, and certainly prayer is a part of that. And so I think that's a wonderful passage, especially as things seem to get darker as we go forward.
I like what you say about our mandate and our mission that Christ left us with to go and make disciples and to tell the gospel message, which is our mandate, even in dark times. And as we discuss prayer, Frank, and pray on this National Day of Prayer, I'd like to share a basic outline as it focuses on prayer with this acrostic from the word pray. First of all, praise. Thank God for what He has already accomplished through Jesus. Frank, what has God already accomplished through Jesus?
Well, I don't mean to be too personal about this, but I can't get around it. He has saved me and everyone else who is a part of the body of Christ, which I prefer to refer to as the bride of Christ. And I think a big part of praise from that particular perspective is the privilege that comes with being here during this particular time. Again, no matter how dark it may seem and how difficult things may be, I praise God that He has chosen us to do the work that He has set before us. Praise God for His saving us. Praise God for His having everything completely under His control. Sometimes I don't understand that in terms of why God allows certain things or why He doesn't intercede in a certain way. But praise God that He has everything under control for His reasons, and praise God for what He's done to bring us to His bosom through Jesus Christ.
Yes. Well, as we look at the next letter, repent, confess your sins and shortcomings. Is confessing our sins the same as repenting from our sins, and how do the two connect?
Well, I think confessing is kind of the first step where repentance is concerned, but I think we ought to always remember that repentance, for those of us who are believers, involves turning back to Him where our sins are concerned or where our passions are involved. So I think when you think of repentance, it's interesting that you ask about praise first, because I think when you think of repentance, that's another reason to praise God. That He has given us a way to confess our sins and go to Him to help us turn back to Him and to engage us again in terms of the work that He has charged us to do. And so I think there's a lot to be said in the way of praise for this opportunity to repent that God has given us.
Yes. The next letter, Frank, is A for ask. Ask God to reveal truth, turn our hearts back toward Him, and bring healing. Now, how does God primarily reveal truth to us?
I think it's primarily through His Word. I think when we are attentive to His Word, when we see His Word as being the bread of life, I think the Holy Spirit also nurtures us through our desire to understand what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be. But I think primarily, it's His Word that helps us to understand truth. And I think the Holy Spirit, in many different ways, confirms helps our understanding of his Word.
You think it's too late for someone to turn their heart back to God that's marred with sin and rebellion, maybe through most of their life?
Never too late. I probably shouldn't confess this, but I will confess this. One of the most difficult, and this is pride, this is a pride problem, but one of the most difficult parables for me to deal with is parable of the vineyard. And those who come in at the end of the day and they get paid the same thing as the others who've been working all day, while sometimes in the flesh that's difficult for me, praise God that it's not too late. Today, when we hear His voice, we should respond. And so as long as there is today, there is the opportunity to turn, if you're a believer, turn back. If you have not come to know the Lord, to come to know Him and receive the gift of salvation that has been wrought through Jesus.
Well, that's a good word, Frank. The last letter here in the word pray, as we talk about preparing our hearts for prayer, is the word yield. Yield to the Lord and recognize that He has heard our prayers and will answer according to His will. Now, Frank, how important is it to pray prayers that are according to His will? And sometimes we don't know. I mean, it's tough at times when we pray for something so long and so hard, but it doesn't go the way we prayed.
I think it goes back to having confidence in the absolute sovereignty of God. I tell students on many occasions that there are so many things that we don't understand and we will not be able to understand until and unless we know, and I hate to talk about this in terms of time, you consider the eternality of God, but there are things that we won't understand until and unless we come to know what happened before God said, let there be. I think one of the things that we should do with difficulties in understanding why God does this or why He does not do the other is to praise Him because of His eternality. There are things that we can't understand that He has under His control. And that's hard to do sometimes, but I think it begins with understanding the truth about who He is and just how sovereign, absolutely sovereign, He is. And I think the more we keep that in mind, the easier, not necessarily easy, but the easier it becomes to yield to Him. And also thinking in terms of the truth, although we are born again believers, although we have a new nature, we won't be everything that, or we at least won't realize everything about who we are until we see Him face to face. So there's always going to be some desire there to do things our way. And if we remind ourselves of that up front, I just think it makes it easier to yield to whatever He does.
Yes, we need to hear that and be reminded of that. Well, 1 Timothy 2:1-8 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Now, Frank, it seems that Scripture's pretty clear that we're to pray for those in authority over us, even if we disagree how that authority may be leading.
Yeah, going back to yielding to God's absolute sovereignty, I think we have to remember, and again, I don't always understand the whys behind this, behind what's going on in political circles or governmental circles. But we have to remember that the powers that be are ordained of God. And among many things, that means that they too are operating under the absolute sovereignty of God. One leader that comes to my mind when I think about this is Cyrus. And I know a lot of people have trouble with the Old Testament presentation of Cyrus, particularly how Isaiah prophesies about Cyrus long before he comes on the scene. But in that prophetic message from Isaiah, Isaiah kind of makes it known that God is going to use Cyrus for his purposes. And we don't get any indication that Cyrus surrendered himself to Yahweh or the notion of the coming Messiah, probably a good politician in that he knew he needed to give the children of Israel some degree of control where how they would worship was concerned. God used Cyrus in a tremendous way where the return of Israel to their homeland was concerned and in so many other ways. And I'm sure there were times when they didn't see that or they didn't understand that. But we have to remember that even the most evil leaders that the world has known, they too, under the absolute power and the absolute sovereignty of God. And Byron, I pray that you will remember my saying these words so that if I call you really frustrated about how things are going, you will remind me of what I've just said.
I'll play it back for you, Frank.
Okay.
Now, Frank, this may seem like I'm moving off the subject of prayer, but as the director of the Center for Racial Reconciliation, can you speak into the tension that we're witnessing on university campuses across America right now among Jewish and pro-Hamas students, which many are Palestinian or of Arab descent?
Wow. Let me kind of back into this. Let me kind of go to the end and come back to that.
I threw you
that
a bomb,
issue
Frank.
Specifically. That's okay. I think where reconciliation is involved, or let me put it this way, God-honored reconciliation in any context, whether it's between siblings or coworkers or people of different races or ethnicities, it has to be modeled in order for it to be God-honoring after what God has done through Christ to reconcile us into himself. And a big part of that is understanding that reconciling with a brother or a sister in Christ or helping others or trying to stand for God in terms of others being reconciled unto him, it cannot be primarily about us or about self. That is a requisite if it's to reflect the work of reconciliation that Jesus has done. And we're ambassadors of reconciliation, first and foremost, where God's reconciling us into himself. But everything else that needs to be reconciled, if it's going to be done to the glory of God, that same pattern has to be there. And I know Israel, and there's so many different ways to look at this, but Israel stands as God's chosen people. Got to give a sharp eye to Romans chapter 11 to, I think, thoroughly understand what that means or to thoroughly understand how much you may not understand about what that means. But I think the godly way to deal with this is to be concerned first and foremost about what do I do to help my brother or my sister come to know Christ? Obviously, ultimately, the Holy Spirit is going to do that. But as my being a part of this effort, of being privileged to be a part of this effort, that is absolutely necessary, that it not be primarily about me, but how do I help this individual give glory to God or understand the need to give glory to God in the face of whatever the difference may be? And that means, in a lot of instances, sacrificing what you want, as long as that sacrifice doesn't go against what God has told us about how we need to stand. Yes. So what we're seeing is a lack of understanding about how to reconcile differences. And it really can't be done effectively apart from God's way and apart from it being done through him with us yielding to him. I wasn't expecting that particular question, but I think it's a great question given our times, because we're seeing so much tension today. I mean, even today, around this particular issue. And I think we need to stop and think about, you know, how we need to respond to this to the glory of God.
Frank, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's still a very important part as we share these deep things and emotions that are impacting, and conflicts that are impacting us as a people, not just in America, but around the world, that we do need to pray. God is our only hope. And so we would be amiss, Frank, if we would talk about prayer and talk about the issues that we need to pray about and not pray. As we close out today, would you pray for our nation and our community?
Father, as difficult and dark as times may seem or actually be, we come to you praising you. And as a part of our praise, we thank you for this day, a day that you have made, and a day that, in spite of what's going on, it's a day for which we have every reason to rejoice. And we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit in terms of how he leads and guides us. But Father, we thank you for what you've done through Jesus to make us one with you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just ask you to help us to remember through it all what a privilege it is to be an ambassador for you. And Father, we don't want to get caught up in ethnocentrism, but we thank you for our country. And we thank you for the opportunities that you have given us through America to do so many things that you have called us to do, and so many things that you have allowed us to do. And we repent, Father, for not having always turned to you individually or as a group of individuals who make for this great nation. And Father, we ask that in areas where we fail to live according to your word, that you will heal our unbelief. And Father, we ask that you burden us to pray for our leaders. Some know you as Lord and Savior, and some don't. And we ask, Father, that you use us to come to know you in the way that you deem best, whether it's our direct engagement with those leaders or just our being great examples in spirit and in truth of what it means to have life in you. And while our nation is engaged in a day of prayer on today, we pray for other nations as well. And we pray for the problems and tensions there, and the problems and tensions between nations. And Father, we know that all over the world, you are mighty to save. And we ask that you use all of these circumstances that are taking place to help people to come to know the truth concerning who you are and the truth concerning what your Son has done. Father, we ask that you burden us to confess our sins. Father, we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, continue to teach us to love one another in this nation. We beg of you, Father, that you give us wisdom to not politicize our faith, but instead let our faith color every aspect of our lives. And Father, we thank you for the grace that you have shed on these United States of America. And we pray that, beginning with those of us who know you, that you bring us together, not so much under the flag, but just under you as your people. And help us, Father, shine the light on others in this nation and in the world who do not know you. And again, even though things are difficult, even though you could have saved great heroes of the Bible until now, we thank you for entrusting in us, those of us who are here today, to do your work and be obedient to your will. Now, Father, by your Holy Spirit, convict us, comfort us, and strengthen us to do this work. And we give you praise for our nation, and we seek your face in terms of how those of us who know you will live before you as we know you in this nation. And we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Frank Anderson, God bless you. My dear brother, thank you so much for hanging out with us this afternoon on the National Day of Prayer, sharing your heart and helping us keep the focus. And we just thank you so much for spending this time together.
Byron, it's always good to be in fellowship with you. It's been, over 30 years now in different ways that we've done this. But I just thank God for you and the work that you're doing there.
God bless you, my brother. Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint on this National Day of Prayer. Thank you for listening. I'm Byron Tyler. Have a great afternoon.